following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, just across the street of the now beginning to reopen North Shore Mall and just above the someday soon to reopen Alto Forno. Altoforno is not quite open yet. Polana, though, their sister restaurant, that's probably the parent restaurant because Polana is where it all started. They're open now, open for lunch, actually, at Polana, too. That is going to be a new thing that's going on there. So check out Polana for lunch and for dinner. Of course, their other restaurant, Daniela's, over on, I think it's Hobart Street or Holton Street, one or the other. What, I think it's Holton Street, actually, across from McKinnon's. They're open as well. But we are open, too. Friedman Financial. We are back to the office this upcoming week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're going to be operating from our office, operating from home offices on Monday and Friday. But we are going to continue to, you know, just keep within the framework of our employees. We're going to manage having clients come to visit the office. Probably not till August we'll have you in, but we can certainly still do Zoom calls. We can do phone calls. We can do Google Hangouts. We can do whatever you want to do. We can make it all happen. And it's really been interesting. We have been getting a bunch of calls from folks that have been listening to this radio show every Sunday morning, starting to find their way out of the forest and saying, hey, we got to start doing some stuff. I've hibernated in my house long enough. I've been putting the responsibility of getting my financial house in order on the back burner. And finally, we're starting to see some light. I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable about where our finances might be sitting. No one really knows what COVID will bring us in the weeks, months, and years to come. Feeling a little bit more comfortable about the economic growth here in the country and starting to say, hey, how am I doing? How am I positioned? We're getting those calls from you. And we've been hosting some very lively and very informative Zoom calls with you. So if that's something that is of interest to you, if you'd like to schedule a Zoom initial consultation with me, you can certainly do that by going to our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, to ease and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page. You can put in your name and your email address and send me a little message saying, hey, I'd like to schedule an initial consultation. Or very simply, just pick up the phone. You're right near one right now, I'm sure. Everyone always has a phone nearby. Dial 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. And we will respond back to you. We'll give you a call. We can schedule some time. We can even send you some information about what we do and how we operate. Now, I want to point you to a place that a lot of people have been asking about lately. On our website, friedmanfinancial.com, Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com, go to the tab that says new client information. One of the things that people really have enjoyed is this page here that says get to know Friedman Financial. And what you'll see is it's a PowerPoint presentation that you can walk through that begins to allow you to follow the steps that we take at Friedman Financial to give you the experience of what financial planning is, what investment management is, and how it all works. You'll get to know us. You'll get to see and understand what the initial consultation looks like. And we'll walk you through that process. You'll get to meet our team. You'll get to see that we are not this major corporation. We're not this big institution. It's five people. And when you work and do financial planning with us, you're generally going to meet with one of the two financial planners, the senior financial planners in our office, and that's myself or my business partner, Marion, who you've heard here on the radio many times before. Oftentimes, you get to get both of us if we're both around. We're supported by our financial planning associate, who is now a CFP as well. His name is Christian Karcher, and he's been great in supporting us. You'll get to meet Sonia, who's been with me almost 12 years as our operations manager. And Jody, of course, will be the person that answers the phone when you call, because she is our director of first impressions. Yes, you heard that right. That is her title, director of first impressions. You see, financial planning, when you think about what financial planning is and how it impacts your life, it starts with an understanding of your goals. We need to understand what it is that you want. What is it that you're trying to accomplish? What do you want to do? What does your future look like? And just because I might have a picture and a vision of what I want my future to look like, it shouldn't be anything like yours. You have your unique goals. Perhaps you like hiking, where I might like being in the pool. Perhaps you like going skiing during the winter, where I like to go on cruises. Everybody has a different vision of what they want to do, both short-term and long-term. When you think about retirement, what does retirement look like? Everyone says, yeah, I want to retire someday. Well, that's nice. Everybody gives you that answer. But what does retirement look like? Retirement, does that mean, oh, you're going to stop working completely? Oh, no. For some people, retirement might mean, you know, I don't want to work as many hours as I'm working right now. Maybe I'd like to just work part-time. Or maybe I'd like to get involved in a new career or a new hobby that I've always enjoyed, but maybe I could get paid for it. Or maybe I don't want to get paid at all and simply volunteer my time. That's just part of it. Because remember, when you're in retirement, you need to draw income from a multitude of sources. No longer are you getting that weekly paycheck, the biweekly paycheck, the monthly paycheck. That stops. It's not coming from your employer. It's not regular like that. So how can you create an experience that becomes more regular, that becomes more traditional, but much more focused, so that you know what's coming into the house so that you can continue to live the lifestyle you want? You know, when you're in retirement, many people might have a source of income. Let's call it Social Security. That could be some source of your income. For some, it's all of their income. We're not saying that that's the case for our clients, many of the people that we speak with, but Social Security becomes a very important part of it. In many cases, Social Security could represent anywhere from 30 to 60% of your income in retirement. So when it's time to make that decision, when it's time to think about where am I going to get Social Security from? When am I going to take it? How am I going to take it? Who's going to walk you through the answers to those questions? Who's going to thoughtfully discuss what would happen if you retired at 62 rather than at 65 or at 68? How much money can you make without having to give back some of your Social Security? You need to have those thoughtful answers to those questions when you're thinking about what you're going to be doing to provide that simple sleeve of income. Now, income in retirement is going to come from more than probably Social Security. Perhaps you're a teacher. Perhaps you've worked for the state or the federal government. Perhaps you've worked for a large company that has promised you that they will pay you a pension. A pension is a decision that you have to make of how much do I want to take? Do I want to take the big amount of money? Like, for instance, if you're a school teacher, for instance, option A, there's usually three options for you as a teacher. Option A, option B, or option C. Option A is the big number. That's the largest amount that the government or the school department or the teacher's retirement board will pay you. That largest amount of money that will come to you every single month. But what do you give up? What you give up is the fact that if you die, your spouse or anyone else gets nothing. It just stops. So you might be getting a larger amount every month, but if you're married, do you want to take option A knowing that you may not be protecting your spouse? Now, how about option B? Option B is slightly less than option A, Then option B provides you a guaranteed source of income. But when you retire, your spouse or some other partner can collect a small lump sum. That lump sum amount of money is not a lot. It's usually under $100,000. Now, that might sound like a lot of money up front, but trust me, $100,000 doesn't last very long if you're going to remain retired for 30 years. The third option, which is oftentimes one that most traditional couples choose, is a little bit less from option B. So it's less than A, less than B. It's a smaller amount. But what happens is if you die, your spouse will get 2/3 of what you were getting while you were alive. And the other big benefit here is if your spouse predeceases you, your check actually goes up. You go up to the amount of money you would have received had you selected option A. What's the right choice for you? Who knows? You have to look at the whole situation. You have to look at everything in your life. What part will your pension represent as you begin thinking about your financial future? And where might you get other sources of income? Perhaps it will be through some part-time employment. Perhaps it'll be through an inheritance you get. Perhaps it's drawing money from an annuity. Perhaps it's drawing money from an IRA. Perhaps it's drawing money from an investment account you have at a brokerage firm or an investment house. Maybe it's money from the bank. There's all sorts of ways in which you can supplement your income as well. But managing that and trying to coordinate a strategy that gives you the income you need while crafting an approach that minimizes the taxes that are owed is something that takes some careful examination. One of the things that we love to do with our clients is we have a piece of software that we've been using a lot with our clients that helps them vision what the tax liability would look like if they took money from account A, account B, or account C. And then we add in your Social Security and your pension or whatever else you might be taking in so that we can begin to examine where's the best place to take it. Sometimes it isn't because one account is doing better than the next. Sometimes we have to consider taxes and we're able to align that up and look at that appropriately. Now, another goal that a client might say to me is, Mark, I want to retire and I understand I need to figure out how much income I need to support my retirement. But what's the number one thing everybody wants to do when they retire? Travel. Everybody says, I want to travel. It's the number one thing. Well, what does travel look like to you? How have you traveled in the past? Have you been a hotels.com and a AAA type traveler? Do you look for the simplest and most inexpensive way to get to a destination? Would you rather make 2 or 3 stops along the way if you could save yourselves a few $100s? Or are you one that says, I just want the shortest and quickest way to get there, and I don't care if I have to pay extra for it? And sometimes when you're traveling, you say, all right, I want to travel to Italy. I can't wait to travel to Italy. Well, when you travel to Italy, are you going to look for the cheapest possible place you could find with the biggest and best deals? Or are you going to say, you know what? I'm not going to worry about finding the cheapest and most inexpensive place. I want to set some ground rules. I want to say, I want to stay at least a 4 or 5-star hotel. I want to have something that the room that I go to in Europe is actually going to have a king-size bed rather than 2 twin beds. Yeah, you heard that right. When you travel to Europe, the rooms are a lot smaller. The walls are a lot tighter. They're not nearly as soundproof either, by the way. And in most cases, you don't have double beds or queen bed or king-size beds. There's a lot of single beds. A lot of things to explore, and we have those conversations about travel. There's a lot of things to think about when you're talking about your goals. I want to continue to have that conversation with you. I want to give you some ideas, some things to think about, because these are the conversations that we have with our clients as we begin to set forward our plan for building your financial plan. It's a journey that we travel on together, and we try to do it in a language that you can understand. We're going to take a quick break. When we're back, more talking about goals, more talking about setting up your financial plan so you can achieve success. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial. It's not about the money, money, money.
We don't need your money, money, money. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located at 41 Cross Street in Peabody, right across the street from the now opening North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. Hope you're enjoying. Wow, we've had a string of great weather, have we not? I mean, Wednesday it poured for a little bit, but besides that, man, we have had some summertime weather all through the month of June. If you have a pool, I hope you have been enjoying it. If you don't have a pool, I hope you have a friend who has a pool and who's let you sneak in through the backyard, socially distant, of course, to jump in their pool. Don't you think that's funny? Every time you say you're doing something, you say, well, socially distant, of course. We all have to like kind of put that in quotation marks because we think we're all going to be judged if you go out and do anything. I went to the supermarket. Well, I wore my mask and I was socially distant. We were careful and everything. Yeah, I mean, look, we're all doing the best we can. This is taking far longer than we imagined, I think as a state, I mean, Massachusetts, criticize Governor Baker all you want, and I've been a critic of his for a lot of things, but he saw things that we weren't willing to look at, and I think he's managed this well. In fact, Massachusetts has the best-looking rates as it comes out of coronavirus and COVID-19 cases right now. So kudos to him. Kudos to those that continue to follow the orders of the governor. I think he's been appropriate with the way he's opened up restaurants as much as I might have liked to see him open them up sooner. You know what? It's worked, and I can't fault him for it. You know, we can all be critical, but I think we also have to step forward when we make a mistake, when we say, you know, probably we were a little more too critical of Governor Baker. Good for him. I think he's doing the right thing here. And what's really been interesting to me, I don't know if you've noticed, if you've been out to eat, and I have been out to eat. In fact, tonight, very excited. I'm going to my first indoor seating. I've done plenty of outdoor. Going indoor seating tonight to my favorite place, Palana. I'll be there tonight for dinner. Looking forward to seeing all of my friends there that are waiters and the bus staff and the bartenders. Well, I don't even know if the bartenders are even working the bar. I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm looking forward to going because the food at Palana is amazing. So big kudos to them. But I had done some outdoor eating. Have you done outdoor dining? I went to, I'll let you know where I've been. I started a week ago Friday. First stop was Joseph's out in Haverhill. If you've ever been out to that place, Joseph's Trattoria. Went there one night. Then we were at Davio's over at Linfield Marketplace. Advice for Davio's, great outdoor dining. Just go there once the sun goes down because there doesn't seem to be any umbrellas on the tables. So we got there around 7:38. It was cool and it wasn't a problem, but I don't know if I'd want to be roasting in the sun. Sitting out at Davio's on the patio there, but it was really nice. Food's great there at Davio's. We went this past week also, actually over the past week or two, we went to the Horseshoe Grill in North Reading. They've got a giant tent outside, very well set up. It was the first time I walked into a restaurant where they held a gun to my head. Not a real gun, but a temperature gun. not a real gun. It was a temperature gun. They took our temperature, everybody that walked in the door. So it was the first time I had that experience. And of course, I've been to Daniela's, one of my other favorite places, across from McKinnon's Meat Market. If you go there for lunch, my favorite dish, the Palana salad with grilled chicken, it's the best. So, all right, enough food talk. Well, you know what? So that kind of is a nice transition because we were talking earlier in the last segment about when people start to think about retiring, they talk about the things that they want to do in retirement. Well, travel is usually the number one thing that they want to do. But when you travel, most of traveling is about eating out, isn't it? It's about the food. We eat out so much as a nation. And we've actually now been quarantined in our house where we're not doing that. So I'm excited to get out. But when you travel, it is all about eating out, right? Every meal, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, drinks, everything that you want. So when you think about retirement and planning for retirement, when you go out to eat, what type of meals and what will your budget look like when you go out? Are you going back to a Popeyes and Chick-fil-A, McDonald's and Wendy's eating out? Are you moving up the scale to Applebee's and Fridays and maybe Texas Roadhouse? Or are you taking bigger leaps? You're starting to go to Burton's or going to, you know where I'm going. I mean, you can move up the chain here. You can start, then go to Polana or Capital Grill or so many other places that you can choose. What is going to be your price point? Will you be willing to spend money for wine and for drinks? Is that something that you want to do in retirement? Can that fit within your budget? Is it something that you can do regularly or periodically? Because when you're traveling, you get a lot of choices. Are you a traveler that says, the minute I check into my hotel at the Courtyard Marriott, I go to the elevator where next to the elevator, there's this giant rack with the discount rack. And I collect every single brochure in the rack to figure out how I'm going to plan my next few days of discounts for the gator sightings or discounts for water parks or 10% off at Orange Julius or whatever else it is that you might do. Do you do that? Or do you rely maybe on TripAdvisor as a way for you to navigate and decide what is it that you want to do? Or do you go to the concierge and you slide them $20 and you say, hey, could you get me a reservation at one of the finest restaurants in the area? How will you approach it? And is the way you travel in retirement going to be different from the way you traveled when you had the kids around or when you were maybe a little bit more careful? Do you have to be careful in retirement? Well, those are questions that you need answers to, and you get those answers through a financial plan. Finding answers and just guessing doesn't make things very comfortable. In fact, I'll tell you a story about a client that came back to us this past week. It's a client that we'd had for a number of years. And when he had taken on this job, it was a big job that he had, and the corporation that he worked for had a relationship with a financial advisor. And as much as he didn't want to leave us, he felt that it was going to show some level of disloyalty by not moving his personal stuff over to this financial advisor as well, since many of the other executives at the company were doing just that. And so he left and let him go. And of course, we maintained a very good relationship. And so this past week, 8 years later, he reaches out and says, hey, Mark, I'm still with the company, but I've learned that many of the people I work with no longer affiliate with this financial advisor. They all found that they could get something else better through more of a personalized approach rather than a financial advisor who spends a lot of their time focusing on the corporate aspect of financial planning. And so he wanted to know if he could move back to us. And of course, we were thrilled to have him come back. But some of the stories that he shared with me was, he says, you know, we're starting to explore retirement. It's about 2 or 3 years away. And the advisor that we were working with was really focused on the asset allocation of our portfolio and the risk tolerance and everything that was involved. But when we asked him, you know, could you model out a strategy where I could understand how much we would need to spend or even have available to spend if we were to retire at 62 or at 65 or at 68? And try to model in when can we take Social Security? How much, if anything, would I need to earn for periods of time if I were to leave this job and go to other places? And he didn't feel that the financial advisor that was working with the company was equipped to do that. He says, well, I can assign you over to another one of our advisors that can deal with some of the number crunching issues, but they weren't able to give advice. And his wife mentioned to me, she says, Mark, she says, I just wanted someone that would talk in a language we could all understand. And I laughed because after they had left us, we had then gone forward and trademarked the expression financial advice in a language you can understand. She thought that was a little funny. And now that that is a registered trademark with us, because that's what we try to do. We try to do it here on this radio show. We do it with our clients. And I try to do that with anybody who's willing to pick up the phone and give us a call and see how we can help them. Because I want your journey in retirement to be everything you imagined it would be. And there's a lot of sound bites, a lot of newsreels, a lot of things that will pop up on your phone, pop up through neighbors, through friends, through coworkers that will distract you and take you off that journey and take you off that path and tell you, you can't do this, or I heard that this doesn't work and this does work and you should probably switch to that and move over here. I want you to stop that. I want you to find a trusted advisor. And when it's time to find the trusted advisor, I want you to look for the designation that's called a certified financial planner. That doesn't have to be me. It can be anybody with a certified financial planner designation. These folks, and there's, I think it's close to 50 planners all across the United States. They have to go through a, go through what's called the four E's. They have to take examinations. They have to have regular education, continuing education. They have to have ethics. They have to follow a code of ethics that places your interests first, that helps you understand that they need to be a fiduciary. And of course, they have to have experience. So it's education, examination, ethics, and experience. Experience, in order to be able to put your CFP after your name, you have to have 3 years of actual, practical, working experience with clients before that's even allowed. And I joke about that with Christian, who had been in my, who's been with me now 3 years. When he came to join our office, he had already passed the CFP examination. He already passed it. He had been working in a planner's office in Wisconsin for a year. But when he came to us, he knew that he couldn't put the CFP designation after his name until he had 3 years experience. So he got his 2 more years with us, and now Christian can put a CFP designation after his name. Folks, having a CFP, having a person with a CFP after their name says that they are required to place your interests first. Placing your interests first means that they must be a fiduciary. It means they need to act in a manner that understands your entire situation so that you can feel comfortable that the decisions that you're collectively making with your planner are in your best interest. I want to talk to you a little bit more about how I measure a certified financial planner's success as a fiduciary, as well as talk with you about our continued journey on what it means to identify goals as you prepare your financial plan. But we've got to take a quick break. Before we do that, I want to remind you about our newsletter. It comes out each and every Friday morning, 10:30, lands in your inbox. We have been sending this newsletter that we write ourselves. It's not prepackaged. We're not grabbing it from anybody else. It is customized in our office. Every Friday, it lands in your inbox, 10:30 in the morning. We've been sending it since March of 2009. More than 7,500 subscribers. You should get this. And it's so easy to read. It's not a solicitation. It's just information. It's news that you can use. It's financial advice in a language you can understand. How do you get it? Go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, fill in whatever type of message you want, or you can just leave it blank. That's okay too. Hit the send button and you're registered. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we're back, more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. For more than 50 years, we've been providing individuals and families on the North Shore and Merrimack Valley with financial advice in a language you can understand. As each of us struggle to find answers in this uncertain environment, we're continuing to communicate with our clients in a variety of ways. Our weekly newsletter, our video town hall, our client teleconferences, and periodic phone calls continue to offer ways to address clients' questions despite remaining physically distant. If you're feeling alone and searching for rational advice during these emotional times, perhaps Friedman Financial can provide the comfort that you need. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial,
financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Money, 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 money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hey, I want to give a shout out to my son, Jerry, who offered up the little intros last week. The kids said that I had to take Sunday off for Father's Day, and I did just that. But I was able to get Jerry to do a little voiceover stuff, to do the little intros for each of the segments. So thanks to Jerry. Nice to have him home. He's here for a couple months. Jerry is crazy. He's like working all these different jobs. He will do anything. He's got like six or seven different jobs that he's working. He's doing power washing. He's delivering pizza. He's doing Postmates. He's doing Grubhub. He's delivering for a butcher service. He will just do anything and everything that someone asks him to do just so we can make a few extra bucks. And I mean, I love his energy, and I love the fact that he's so ambitious to try to make some money so that he can have some cash back for school when he returns to University of Miami. And speaking of that, I don't know if any of you have followed or if you have kids in colleges. The colleges are starting up. It looks like kids are going back to school. Noah is going to University of Rochester this fall. Jerry's at University of Miami. Both of those schools are welcoming students back a little bit earlier than normal in the fall. They'll actually be coming end of summer. But it looks like most of these schools are embracing this significant vacation that they'll be able to take just following Thanksgiving. It looks like school's going to start like mid part of August, run through Thanksgiving. Then the following week will be a week of finals for the kids to do from home. And then they're off until they return sometime in mid-January for the second semester. It's a plan and a strategy that we hope is the safest approach. It allows the kids to gather back on campus. Now, this isn't happening for everybody. It looks like 65% of the schools so far have said, we are opening up with students on campus. Some have still said no. I hear Harvard, though that's not confirmed. It's just what I heard, that they are going to go virtual for the upcoming fall semester. But we'll see. Massachusetts, like I said before, I give Charlie Baker a lot of credit. People gave him a lot of crap, and it is tough to be a leader in an environment when there's a lot of chaos and uncertainty. And I mean, I wasn't happy for the way he approached this this reopening of our state, but it seems to be working. I mean, our numbers are looking really good. And Scott Gottlieb, who I believe is with the CDC, I might be wrong on that. He was saying that the Northeast, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts are the least likely group to see a second wave, which I think is remarkable. So good for us. It may mean that this summer we'll be traveling probably no farther than, I don't know, the Cape Cod or something. We'll be staying pretty local, but it's okay. It's okay. We've been able to manage it, and I hope you're surviving as well. I hope those around here are staying safe, that you're being responsible. Look, we've all had people in our lives who have been impacted by this terrible, terrible virus. Some, sadly, who have died from the virus, and then plenty of others who have recovered. So it gives us some hope. It gives us some possibilities. And just please, please, for the sake of everybody, let's all be responsible out there. Let's take this seriously. And I think we'll be happy to see what happens in the third and fourth quarter of 2020 and beyond. Earlier in the show, I was talking to you about what it means to build a financial plan and what really has to happen. A financial plan doesn't start with saying, oh, hey, I heard that this stock, this automotive stock or this steel company or this technology company is really great, and that's how I start to build my retirement plan. No, retirement plans don't start with an investment. Retirement plans start with a goal. What is that goal? And how many goals might you have? Are they short-term goals? Are they long-term goals? Maybe, depending upon what age you are, sometimes you don't even think about long-term goals. I know my kids are in their 20s. What's their goal right now? Get married. Get promoted. Maybe buy a car. Maybe be able to save some money, but for the most part, it's have fun. But when you get to 50 or 60 and your kids are out of college, or maybe they're in college, depending upon how early or late you started, and you start to begin to realize that, man, we may be at home all alone. We may be empty nesters sooner than we think. And we as a couple are going to have to re-court. It's like dating again, because we're going to be spending so much time together, especially if the work life part starts and we're spending more time at home, more time sharing meals together, more time going, frankly, to the grocery store or shopping or whatever, because it's just the two of us. What are our goals? What is it that we want to do? Maybe there are certain things that you've never thought about. One of the first questions that I ask couples when we schedule our initial consultations is this very question, and it usually shocks people. I ask them, tell me what it is that the two of you, just the two of you, enjoy doing together, and eating out can't be your answer. And they look at each other in many cases. Some people have lots of answers, but the vast majority, they're dumbfounded. Well, we have Netflix, we have Amazon Prime, and then they start telling me about the shows that they like. We like Bosch. We like Marvelous Miss Maisel. Well, no. Those are short-term things. What are things that you like to do together out, you know, that's just off the couch and away from a restaurant? And when they begin to think that through, it forces them to say, wow, what am I going to do when it's just the two of us? Maybe one likes to golf and the other likes to garden. Maybe the golfer would love the spouse to golf with them, and the gardener would like the spouse to garden with them. Have they ever asked? Have they ever explored and tried to learn from one another? There is so many different things that we can do together, so many different ways that we can learn from one another. One of the answers that you'll hear from a couple, they'll say, well, we like to travel together. All right, great. So what do you like to do when you travel? And I can't tell you how many times I will hear, well, when we travel, he likes to go golfing and I like to go touring. They travel, but they don't even do things together when they're traveling. Oh, except for eating out. You know, we get together for meals together. We got to find what we like to do together, or we're going to start to hit this thing called a silver divorce. Have you heard of this? The silver divorce rate in America is going up. These are people that are getting divorced after being married for 25 to 35 years. It's because they were really good roommates while they were raising their kids. And now that they're just the two of them, they realize that their particular interests are so diverse that they may be better off alone, connecting up with new companions and new friends and new social circles. Wouldn't you like to have that conversation before you started heading into retirement? Wouldn't you like to examine what retirement would look like, what you really like to do? You know, I talk about financial planning, but a lot of what we do in my office, as much as invest money for our clients, and yes, we invest a lot of money, and we provide income checks to 65% of our clients. We have it's about $450 million under management and send close to $15 million every month out to our clients to help support their income in retirement. But I'll tell you, when we get together for our review meetings, those review meetings are almost therapy sessions sometimes, because we sometimes uncover questions that one or the other was afraid to ask. I'll tell you, here's a question that we ask oftentimes for sometimes a younger couple. We will ask them, so tell me, let's say they have children and they start talking about education planning for their kids. I'll ask each spouse individually, tell me how your parents paid for your college education. And when you go through that process, how did your parents educate you about what college cost? Did you have to take out loans? Did they take out loans? Did they pay full boat? Did your grandparents help to pay for college? Was there a trust fund that had been set aside for you? Did you have to work and do work study? How did you go to school? And when we start exploring both those questions, we find that generally each of the couples had a different experience on how college was paid for. And as they collectively come together to figure out how are we going to pay for our children's education, oftentimes the way that they'd like to have college paid for is a direct reflection on how they manage through college life themselves. Some who had to work hard through college, had to do work study programs and take out loans, and maybe mom and dad contributed a little bit, will say to me, I don't care what it takes, but I want to make sure that my kids don't have to go through that. I want to pay 100% of their education. And then there are others who had their education paid 100% for, and they say, you know, I don't think it could hurt so much for my kids to take out a little bit, a few loans, because in this world of a participation trophy, my kids really haven't had to work very hard for anything. They get to take tests 2 and 3 times if they do it poorly. They get a trophy for landing in 9th place. They don't know how to change a tire. They don't know how to do adulting. How do we start to instill that in them? All of those questions and all those issues pop into the dialogue. And I'm not going to say we have an answer, but when we raise these questions and we let people kind of marinate that and think about it and then head home and talk about it a little bit more, we can develop strategies to help you achieve the goals that you want that say, you know, we feel good collectively, whether it's educating your children, whether it's planning for retirement, whether it's buying a second home, or whether how it is that you are going to care for your aging parents. We have to deal with all of those things, and we have those conversations. And frankly, I've had thousands of those conversations. And I will tell you, everybody's situation is unique. I'm always so fascinated to find people making financial decisions based upon, well, that's what my friends are doing. That's what my mother told me to do. That's what I hear is happening in the school department or with my colleagues at work. Your situation is so unique, and so many people don't understand it. How many times have you driven by somebody's house? They bought this beautiful new house. They spent a fortune on it, and it looks great. And then you go inside the house and half the rooms are empty. They don't have any furniture in there because they spent so much on taking out a big mortgage because they wanted to have that impressive front look to the house. If you've ever walked the streets of Disney World, and if you listen to this show, you know I'm a huge fan of Disney. If you walk the streets of Main Street, USA, you know the fronts of those stores are what's called a facade. All it is a flat wall that's going up in front with wood stilts that are holding it up. It is not a full box in the back that's highly decorated if you go further behind it. It's barren. It's plain. If you go actually to the downstairs, to the utilidor at Disney, I don't know if you realize this, when you walk into Disney World, actually the Magic Kingdom, when you walk in on Main Street USA, you're walking in on the second floor. Did you know that? The first floor is down below, that you can only get to through elevators and stairways and everything else. But you can get from Adventureland to Tomorrowland in about 5 minutes without any crowds because of all the open space that's down there. It's plain, it's barren, it's old, it's not fancy at all. And I will tell you, the music that they play downstairs, you won't hear a single Disney song downstairs. It's hip hop, it's country, it's whatever people downstairs want to play. The point of the matter is we've grown up with trying to impress the Joneses with this front face, and we might have nice sneakers or nice clothes or whatever it might be. We got to recognize, is this our authentic self? Is this who we are just on the outside, or are we mirroring who we are on the inside with our outside? And what I want you to do when you plan your financial plan is to make sure that you can substantiate the decisions that you make so that you don't find yourself in trouble one day, that you set yourself up for success, you set your children up for success, and you can live the authentic life that you want with the money that you need. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk to you a little bit about how I'm viewing the recovery that we're going through. We are going through a recovery, folks. Things are going to get better. And I'm going to give you 8 points that I believe that I think about where we are in the COVID-19 recovery cycle and how we're going to get better and how it's going to be great. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I said, make the money, don't let the money make you change again. Don't let the game change you. I'll forever remain faithful. All my people stay true.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Friedman Financial. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. Since 1968, Friedman Financial has been providing financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area. You know, many people ask me, Mark, you must deal with a lot of big corporate 401k plans or institutions, not-for-profit organizations, companies. And the answer is no. We've actually specifically built our business on serving exclusively individuals and families. I'll leave the work of doing institutional work, setting up big 401k plans, all that kind of stuff, to somebody else. We have found a niche here on the North Shore and the surrounding communities that serves our community well. We get to know you. We get to know your generations of families. My father started this firm in 1968. We still have clients that are with us since the day my dad started. And I'm very proud of the fact that our retention rate at Friedman Financial is around 98 to 99%. The biggest reason people leave us is because, unfortunately, they pass away. When you have a firm that's been around for as long as we've had it, people are going to die. And in fact, one of the things that we do better than most, not that something that I was planning on doing in this business, but we know how to manage death and the transfer of wealth and the communication of what it means to transition registrations and accounts and all the steps that are necessary when someone dies to a surviving spouse, to the children, to the next generation. We average 18 deaths a month, in a, not a month, sorry, 18 deaths a year in our office. And I mean, it's just going to come with the package. It's a sad story, but it's, you know, we go to a lot of wakes and a lot of funerals because we are there to support our clients. Because I'll ask you this question. If you were to, if your spouse or a loved one were to die today, would you know what to do? What are your expectations? Who would you call? What would happen next? Not surprisingly, we're usually the first to the third call from a surviving spouse when somebody has passed away. And one of the reasons that they call us is because as your financial planner, we know where everything is and what everything is worth. We know where everything is beyond the investment accounts that you have with the office. I know that you have an account maybe at Salem Five or at Century Bank. I know that you have a 401k with your employer or a life insurance policy with Transamerica, or you have an automobile policy with Commerce Insurance, because we've gathered all of that information and we've given you collective advice. I know where the mortgage is. I know all of those things. And that's why clients build that trusted relationship with us. But I also want you to know that we go through hills and valleys, and we're going through, well, I guess we're coming out of a valley right now, I think. I think as we begin to move forward out of the next steps towards solving this COVID mystery, and it is still mysterious. We're not quite sure of all the answers, but here in Massachusetts, I think we're managing it quite well. I've always been an optimist, and I've had some perspectives on where we would be around June or July. Many of my predictions, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. It's purely from experience. Most of them have been right. I mean, when we hit that low point in March 23rd, when the market was down 35% and people were really starting to think, oh my God, is this time different? Will we ever recover? I had said that I had no worries that the market would respond with at least coming back at least 50% from its low by middle of June. And it's done more than that. But that's not based upon me being arrogant or seeing through some crystal ball. It's recognizing that every time we seem to think, well, this time is different. There are certain things that are different. No, none of us in our lifetime have dealt with a virus like this. But we've dealt with shocks to our system, whether it's financial, whether it's terrorism, whether it's a virus. And we know how resilient the American population is, how our economy takes a jolt and we fight back. And we come back in different ways because we recognize how deep and how strong and how resilient our economic source of power is, that we can create and rescue Americans no matter their economic spectrum and get them out of some of the most challenging times. And we've proven it once again. So what I thought I'd do in the last few minutes here of the show is to share with you some of my thoughts about where we are in the COVID-19 recovery cycle. Right now, I believe that our recovery is underway. I think you would agree with that too. We've seen the cycle low. We've hit the low. I don't think we're going back to the March 23rd low ever again. I don't think we're going to get close to it. We've seen the low for the economy. We've seen low for moods. Now, we've not seen the best in our people, that's for sure. The character of the American people right now has not been the best face forward. And that starts with our president, but it goes down to every individual that walks the streets. We have not been great representatives of what the American spirit is all about. So I would expect to continue to see some volatility along the way. We saw some of it this past week. There's going to be days when the market's down 1,000 points. There'll be other days when the market's up 1,000 points. We're going to go through what I call a wobbly period of time. That's to be expected. So I believe you've heard this term, a U-shaped recovery, which means the market drops down, kind of stays down for a while, and then scoops itself back up. You've heard of a V-shaped recovery where the market goes down and then spikes back up. You've heard of a W-shaped recovery, which you can know it down and up and down and up. I think we're going through what I call a square root recovery. Okay? Here's what I'm thinking. So think about what a square root looks like, right? When you think about a square root, at the beginning of the year, we started going up, right? The market was doing really, really well going up as we headed into the mid part of February. And then all of a sudden, COVID-19 hits and whoop, we dropped really quickly down between middle of February and end of March. And now from March to where we are now, June, all end of June, we've started to see a recovery going back up, which almost looks like a V. It's getting there. It's not quite as high as where it was before, but we get up a little bit. And then all of a sudden, instead of it going up and down, I think what you're going to see through the end of the year is a flattening. You're going to see a little bit of wobbling. We're going to go up and down a little bit, but it's going to stay relatively flat as we do a square root. And we're going to develop this square root recovery. And then just you wait. When we hit 2021, probably spring of 2021, maybe even summer, wait for the rocket ship to take off. So if you're thinking about saying to yourself, is now the right time to be getting in the market? Well, unfortunately, if you were one that said, I'm got out when the market was down, and now you're thinking, is now the right time to get into the market? Well, that answer is definitely no, because you should have never got out in the first place. And we never, through all of the trials and tribulations over the past 3 months, encouraged you to get out. We told you to stick to it. We told you to hold your guns. We told you to rebalance if necessary. But if you got out and you've been sitting in cash and now thinking, well, now might be the right time to get back in, I would say, look, you want to get back in? Do it with baby steps, because there's going to be some bumps along the way, which will be better buying opportunities. But over the next 6 to 8 months, I think you're going to see an averaging in so that you're prepared for a rocket ship takeoff come 21 or 22. Now, there's a lot of things that could change that prediction, of course. We don't know what the election outcome will be. We don't know what else will happen. But that's my prediction today. We also believe that the COVID-19 cases, I believe this, the COVID-19 cases will actually increase. They're going to increase. It's only natural that they will increase. But they're not going to spike. They're going to increase. There's a difference between spiking and increasing. Flattening of the curve did not mean that we were going to solve this virus. Flattening of the curve said we were going to take the pressure off the hospitals from having to deal with all of the cases that would come in the door. If we had a huge spike in our cases, well, the hospitals couldn't handle it, and we'd be in panic mode. We thought that was going to happen earlier in March of this year, March and April of this year, and even into May. We controlled it as best we could. We actually saw the curve starting to go down, and now it's starting to flatten. But as more as we begin to reconnect out into the population, there is likely going to be an increase in the number of cases. I think if we manage it properly and we follow the guidelines issued by the CDC, issued by our officials, and we are respectful to those that want to continue to follow even more stringent guidelines, we're just respectful. COVID cases will go up slightly, but it will not be problematic. That's what I see. I expect that the unemployment rate, which is currently hovering around 20%, will drop. Well, I don't think that comes as any surprise, but it's not going to go back down to the 3 to 5% level that we were experiencing back in February. I think you'll see the unemployment level drop back to around 10%, because there's a lot of people who were laid off or who were furloughed with the expectation that they'd be able to return back to work. And now they're finding not that they're being asked back to work, but the company that they work for is not planning on opening ever again. Those are what were called phantom companies. We talked about that a few weeks ago, a phantom company, which means that they were a company that existed. You got laid off. You were able to collect your unemployment. But the reality is the company was never open when it was time to recover. So people are going to have new jobs reimagined. That came out of 9/11. It came out of the financial crisis. It came out of the dot-com boom and bust. It came through all of those things. We will recover. We are an extraordinarily resilient population. Think about how a few years ago you wouldn't have thought of using DoorDash or Grubhub or Postmates or any of these online services. Think how much we rely upon companies like Amazon and all of these other online services. These companies weren't around a few years ago. And if ever you would have thought, remember Dick Tracy used to use his watch to call people on his phone and he'd listen and he would type in. Whoever thought that that was going to be reality? Folks, we're going to have lots of new stuff that's coming. Someone has to make it. Someone has to support it. Someone has to manufacture it. Someone has to sweep the floors of the factories that make it. Someone has to deliver the products and manufacture the steel and all the stuff that goes along. We are going to come out of this. We're going to come out better, stronger, bigger, faster. Sounds like the $6 million man. That's what I feel like I'm talking like. But I'm excited about where we're going. Socially, I'm not excited about what the conversations are right now. That's frustrating. But folks, I think if you've been around as long as we have been, as long as I have been, you know that those conversations go through hills and valleys. They go through lulls. They're important conversations. We swing from one pendulum to the next pendulum. It gets a little crazy, but we deal with it and we will get through this as well. And that's about all I got for today, as I think I got to get out of here. I got to make room for Scott Whitley. He's in with some great places that you need to get out to try. Great food to eat. I give Scott Whitley all the credit in the world for his marathon sessions of talking about food and restaurants while all the other restaurants were closed. So turn it over to you, Scott. Thank you for listening. Another great Sunday of financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.